أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. The last few verses of Surah An-Nazi'at, verses number 42 onwards. يسألونك عن الساعة أيان مرساها فيما أنت من ذكرها إلى ربك منتهاها إنما أنت منذر من يخشاها كأنهم يوم يرونها لم يلبثوا إلا عشية أو ضحاها. They ask you concerning the hour, when it will set in. What have you to do with mentioning it? Toward your Lord is its conclusion. You are only a warner for one who fears it. The day they see it, it shall be as if they had not stayed except for an evening or fall. Now these are the concluding remarks in the surah. As the surah started with the mention of the Day of Judgment and what happened then, and the way the people are distinguished from each other, فَأَمَّا مَنْ تَغَى, those who are rebellious, and وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ, those who fear the stand of the Lord, the stance of their Lord, then the question is, when is this going to happen? يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ Ayyana Mursaha. They ask you concerning the hour, when it will set in. Sa'a is usually in terminology means a short period of hour. Now, a short period of time, it might be 1 hour that we define 60 minutes. Or if in the old times, I think they used, even at the time of the Prophet, to divide the day and night to 24 parts, and each part was called a sa'ah, although the concept of minutes probably was not there. But it might allude to a different period of time, so long as it is short. So even a minute could be called a sa'ah. An hour can be called a sa'ah. More than that can also be called a sa'ah. Now, this is used, the term as-sa'ah also is used for the time, the moment when the judgment day will start, when the day of judgment is initiated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That moment is called as-sa'ah. Or the whole day of judgment is also called as-sa'ah. Some say that this is, of course, a sort of philosophical understanding of it. Sadruddin al-Shirazi or Mullah Sadra, he says that As-Sa'ah, or the Day of Judgment, is called As-Sa'ah because everyone performs Sa'i towards it. Sa'ah, he says, is from Sa'i, that's making effort. So everyone is making effort, moving towards that time. And that's why it's called as-sa'ah. Whatever it means, whether it's from sa'i or any other root in etymology, the way it's used here is the moment when the judgment day, when the day, when the nash'atul akhirah starts to happen. Now, the question here is, they ask you concerning the hour. It's not concerning the hour in terms of what happens then, what would be the situation. No. Ayyana mursaha, when it will set in. Mursaha is from irsa'. Irsa' is when a ship, as I said last week, a ship moving, when it stops and anchors and puts the anchors down, that's irsa'. Now, there is a metaphorical sense to this. as if the whole world like a ship is moving, and then at a moment it would anchor at some place. There is a settlement of all these movements. As in other verses of the Quran, it is mentioned as well that the other day, the day of judgment or Nash'atul Akhirah, is the day when everything settles. Now everything is in movement, everything is in change. On that day, everything settles down. As Mu'min Ali Fir'aun mentions in Surah Mu'min, يَا قَوْمِ إِنَّمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا مَتَاعٌ وَإِنَّ الْآخِرَةَ هِيَ دَارُ الْقَرَارِ. This world is only a means to use for your movement, to use for your evolution towards the final target. But Darul Akhirah, Nash'atul Akhirah, that's where, when everything settles. Darul Qarar, the place of settling, the place of finding a sort of calmness and tranquility. That is Darul Qarar. Innal Akhirata Hiya Darul Qarar. So this metaphorical sense that the whole world is moving, and at one point, at one moment in time, it would set down and it would stop and everything would settle, is mentioned here. So the question is not about the happenings or the events which happen on the Day of Judgment, is when that happens. Now, the answer here is, what have you to do with mentioning it? It means you have not been sent to tell them when this time it happens. This is not your mission. This is not your mission. Your mission is to warn them. Your mission is to tell them what is going to happen after that. Your mission is not to tell them that because you are, of course, not informed about it. Now, here, of course, it's not mentioned you are not informed about it, but فِيمَا أَنْتَ مَنْ ذَكْرَهَا means this is not part of your mission to tell them when the Day of Judgment would happen. But in other verses, very clearly, it is said that how you want to tell them when you yourself have no knowledge about it. No one in this world knows when that moment will come. And the reason is, of course, mentioned in an implicit way. If we go to Surah Al-A'raf, this question and answer is mentioned more elaborately. Surah number 7, verse number 187. It is mentioned there that يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةَ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَهَا. Exactly the same question. They question you concerning the hour, when it will set in. So exactly the same phrase for the question. Now, but the answer is more elaborate here. قُلْ إِنَّمَا إِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي. Say, its knowledge is only with my Lord. As in Surah Luqman, at the end of Surah Luqman also we have إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. The knowledge of the Sa'a, of the hour, is only with the Lord. Here also it says, its knowledge is only with my Lord. لَا يُجَلِّيهَا لِوَقْتِهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. None except him shall manifest it at its time. It means this is not something that could be done by any angel. The angels are unaware of it. No one in the heavens and the earth. This is something that should be done only by his power. And that is why no one is aware of it. That is why no one is given that knowledge, because that knowledge would be useless apart from the fact that it is impossible to give this knowledge to anyone, as I mentioned later. لَا يُجَلِّيهَا لِوَقْتَهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. None except him shall manifest it at its time. ثَقُلَتْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. It will weigh heavy on the heavens and the earth. Now, it will weigh heavy on the heavens and the earth. It might mean its knowledge weigh heavy. That means the knowledge could not be carried by anyone, even by you, even by Jibreel, or by any other angel. Or the very incident, the very happening of this is so heavy, so extraordinary that the knowledge of it could not be given to anyone, and therefore لا تأتيكم إلا بغتة, it would not overtake you but suddenly, means no one can warn, can give a warning that it is coming, it is close, take heed, the hour is taking place. لا تأتيكم إلا بغتة. Now لا تأتيكم إلا بغتة, it doesn't come you but suddenly, would have another meaning, and that is the whole world we know is evolving, is moving in a direction. The stars, the earth, whatever is on the earth, the whole universe, they are moving in a way. We know that, for example, the sun is burning, the gases which are burning on the sun would, they are not unlimited, would finish one day, the sun would get cold. But this is the gradual movement of everything. However, the hour is not an outcome of this gradual movement, as some philosophers may say, that there is a gradual movement towards that hour. No, it is changing the course of all these evolving things. It's changing the course of the whole rules and regulations which are governing this world. And that's why it's sudden. It's not as an outcome of what is going on now, as an outcome of this evolution. That's why it comes only as a sudden type of event. لا تأتيكم إلا بغتة يسألونك كأنك حفي عنها. They ask you as if you were in the know of it, if you had any knowledge of it. Again, emphasis. قل إنما علمها عند الله. Say its knowledge is only with Allah. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُ. So, the mission of the Prophet is not to tell us about when this is going to happen, because first of all, it's nothing that would add anything to our knowledge or to our fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, it's not part of his mission because he is not aware of it. He doesn't know when this is going to happen. And however, there are allusions in the Quran that you, the very fact that you are sent to people is a sign that it's close. It's close, when you say it's close, it means that the longer part of the creation of Nash'atul Dunya has passed and shorter is remained, and that's why it's close. اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر وإن يروا آية يعرضوا ويقول سحر مستمر. When that miracle of splitting the moon happened, Allah said that happened and the sa'ah has closed in. Or in Surah Ahzab it said يسألك الناس عن الساعة. The people ask you about the hour and the sa'ah. وما يدريك. Of course you don't know, because you have no knowledge of it, but وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ تَكُونُ قَرِيبًا. It may be that the hour is very close. And that's why the Prophet used to say that بُعِثْتُ أَنَا وَالسَّاعَةَ كَهَاتَيْنِ. My mission, Allah that sent me, that event of sending me, and the event of Qiyamah are like this. We are very close to each other. And that probably means that, as I said, the longer part of the Nash'atul Dunya has passed, and the shorter part has remained by coming of the last Prophet. And that's why probably he's the last Prophet. There's no Prophet after him. However, this doesn't tell us anything about the span of the time which has remained. It might be very close, it might be far away, and one of the reasons which would leave us in ambiguity again is that we don't know how long of the past creation has already elapsed. We don't know how many million years or billion of years has passed. Usually, of course, in old books like in Torah, there were exact years of the start of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, 6,000 and something, 6,000 a few hundred years ago, and then another couple of thousand years is left, which of course is a biblical account, one of those accounts of Bible which was proved to be wrong and was driven some Christians to say that, okay, we shouldn't dwell on facts which are historical and scientific facts which are mentioned in the Bible. But of course we don't have this in our Islamic knowledge, and we really don't know how many years, how many centuries, how many billions of years have passed since the start of this creation. And all the scientific speculations which are mentioned here due to the astronomical calculation are just a speculation. It's not something that would give us real knowledge. What the Prophet said, peace be on him, if this tradition is correct, that بُعِثْتُ أَنَا وَالسَّاعَةُ حَاتِمٌ, we are like this, me and the hour and the events of the Qiyamah are like this, it should be very close. But by very close, we don't know in what scale of time we are talking. Are we talking in scale of millions of years? Are we talking in scale of thousands of years? We don't know. The only thing is that Quran says اقتربت الساعة, the hour has come close. Or in Surah Anbiya we have اقترب الناس حسابهم, the day of accounting for the people has come close. وهم في غفلة معرضون, but they are ignorant, turning away from this. So they ask you about the hour, يسألونك عن الساعة, when will it set in, when will it anchor, what have you to do with mentioning it? Because of two reasons. One, because your mission is not to tell them when is this going to happen, and secondly, you don't know about it, you have no knowledge about it. What is your, well, who knows about it? إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ مُنْتَحَاهَا, toward your Lord is its conclusion. Toward your Lord is its conclusion might have two meanings. One is that toward your Lord is مُنْتَحَا إِلْمُهَا, إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ مُنْتَحَاهَا means إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ مُنْتَحَا إِلْمُهَا, the ultimate knowledge of it goes back to your Lord, so no one really knows. Or since the conclusion of the whole Nash'atul Dunya is going to be settling with the Lord, عند الله, because Darul Akhirah is عند الله, where everything is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a way that His presence is felt in everything, then of course, if this is the case, and since Allah's time is different than our time, when I say Allah's time, not Allah Himself, because He's out of time, but that عند الله, the Nash'atul Akhira, its time is different from what we know of the concept of time in this world, therefore no one can really know, and this is going to settle عند الله. Nash'atul Dunya is going to settle in Nash'atul Akhira, and Nash'atul Akhira is عند الله, therefore no one can be aware of it. إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ مُنْتَحَاهَا. There's another verse which is mentioned in Surah Al-Hajj, that وَيَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالْعَذَابِ, they ask you to hasten for them their azab. Well, they were ridiculing the Prophet. Okay, you warn us our azab, or that if we do not believe in you, Allah will punish us. When is that? Bring that punishment to us. يَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالْعَذَابِ وَيَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالْعَذَابِ وَلَوْلَا أجل المسمى لجاءهم العذاب. This is not in Surah Hajj. In Surah Hajj it says ويستعجلونك بالعذاب وإن يوما عند ربك كألف سنة مما تعودون. One day with your Lord, not one day of your Lord, because Lord doesn't have days and months, Lord is outside us, but one day with your Lord, with your Lord is another dimension, is another nash'a, that's nash'atul akhira. ما عندكم ينفد, Whatever is with you in this world will perish. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَعْ Whatever is with Allah, that نَشْأَةُ الْآخِرَةِ That would remain there. So, in نَشْأَةُ الْآخِرَةِ there is time. But time has a different scale. We don't know about it really. And the example of it is وَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعْبُونَ One day with your Lord, that's the day that we are going to have in paradise, and that's why when we look back from that nasha, from that world to this world, we are confused about the concept of time. And in the Quran repeatedly it's mentioned that when we raise, we don't know how long we had been in barzakh, how long we had been on the earth. وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ يُقْسَمُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ مَا لَبِسُوا غَيْرَ سَاعَةٍ When the hour comes, the mujrimun would swear that, well, it lasted only an hour. Now, it doesn't probably mean what we say when we look back to our life, that, okay, all these 30, 40 years just passed, just like an hour, just like blinking of an eye. This is a sort of metaphorical usage of it. But in those people who are on Nash'atul Akhirah, they are really confused. Not saying that it just passed like that. They think it was just that time, that the period which passed was 1 hour. Or they say that, for example, يَتَخَافَتُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ in Surah Taha, يَتَخَافَتُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ and they say, إِن لَبِثْتُمْ إِلَّا أَشْرَى They say 10 days. It was 10 days, not more than that. نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ إِذْ يَقُولُ أَمْثَلُهُمْ طَرِيقَةً إِلَّا بِثْتُمْ إِلَّا يَوْمًا We know what they are talking about. And the ones who are better, who have better understanding, they say that we stayed only 1 day. And it's about the long period of Barzakh, probably, and this world. And the idea is not that, oh, well, how quick it passed, how quick it was. No, they are confused about the concept of time. And therefore, if this is the case, if when we go to that nash'a, the whole concept of time changes, and if this frame of time is going to end in a different frame of time, which is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so it's impossible for anyone who lives in this frame of time to know about it. And that's why even the angels in Nash'atul Dunya, they don't know when the hour is going to happen. So, إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ مُنْتَهَاهَا So, this is not your mission to tell them what when this event is going to take place. What is your mission? Your mission is only, you are only a warner for one who fears it. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنْذِرُ مَنْ يَخْشَهَا Your mission is just to tell them that these things are going to happen on that day. However, of course, Prophet tells this to everyone, but not everyone takes heed. And if this is your mission, then it's useless if people do not take heed of it. No, it's not useless. The target of this mission are not those people who do not fear that day. The target of this mission are those who fear the day of accounting. And therefore, again, we come to the idea that prophets would not be helpful unless we ourselves have already helped ourselves. We have drawn on our inner knowledge and fitra that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in us. Otherwise, it's useless. The more the prophets speak, the more people say you are Majnoon, you are Sha'ir, you are Kahin, because they do not believe in this. And this confirms, of course, what comes at the beginning of the Quran in Surah Baqarah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ It guides only the muttaqeen, it doesn't guide anyone else. And that means that prior to a prophet, you have to have come to your conclusions about your life, the hereafter, God, about all these things. Prophets would not help you if you have not made your decision first. You have to make your decision first, and then prophets, they bring you a knowledge of, okay, now that you want to be successful in the next world, what you should do. And these are the things that you have to do. Well, we know every prophet, our prophet, for example, he addressed his message equally to Abu Dharr and Salman and Ali, alayhi salam, and at the same time, the mission was the message was addressed to Abu Sufyan and Abu Jahl and others, and they were all people of rational understanding. I mean, they were very intelligent people, people like Abu Jahl. You know, Abu Jahl, before the Prophet given the mission, he was called Abu al-Hakam because of his great wisdom and hikmah, that everyone took their arbitrations to him, everyone asked for wisdom from Abu al-Hakam. And then when Prophet came, he did not believe in him, and he started to fight against him with his wisdom, with his power, with his spiritual power, in a sense, that he had among people. He started to fight against the Prophet, and Prophet changed his kunya from Abu al-Hakam to Abu Jahl. He said, you are not a man of wisdom, you are a man of ignorance. So the message was addressed equally to everyone. However, only those used it and was helpful to them who had made their decision about hereafter. And that means that we are always alone on our own in this decision. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادًا. You have come alone to us. كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةً. The way we created you the first time, you have left everything behind. You had made your individual decision, and you have come individually for your account. And this is what happens. So if we don't have this fear in our hearts, if we don't care, as some people say, we don't care. Well, there is a God, there is not a God, we don't care. There is a day of judgment, there is not a day of judgment. Who cares? If this is the case, if that fear has not come to a person's heart by internal reflection, by turning inside, by soul searching, then of course the Quran, the Hadith, the Prophet, everything are useless. So, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنْذِرُ مَنْ يَخْشَهَا كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَهَا لَمْ يَلْبَثُ إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا. This again confirms what we said about the change of time frame when we go to Nash'atul Akhirah. The day they see it, that when they just enter into that Nash'atul Akhirah, when they just enter into the Day of Judgment, the day they see it, it shall be as if, just pay attention to this, as, كأنهم, as if, لَمْ يَلْبَثُ, they had not stayed except for an evening or a forenoon. So, the time frame is changed. And when you enter that Nash'ah, you look back, you think that it was only like that. Not in the, as I said, not in the sense that we talk among ourselves that the life passed very quickly, it was just like one day or one week. No. They really are confused about the concept of time. إِلَّا عَشِيَةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا. Now, again, Allah doesn't say it is established as that the time frame in this world, when you go to the next world, this time is one morning or one afternoon. No, He says it is as if. And that means still, I cannot explain for you what type of time frame is there. When there are descriptions of the Day of Judgment, the descriptions of the Day of Judgment in the Quran are of two types. One type is a descriptive explanation, which is given, that, for example, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدْخِلُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. Allah will make the mu'minun to enter gardens with rivers, which rivers flow in them. إن الله يفعل ما يريد. Allah would do whatever He wants. Or, for example, in Surah Baqara, when وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا عَزْوَاجٌ مُتَحَرَّةٌ وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, they have pure wives, they have pure spouses there, and they are there forever. This is one type of description. Another type of description is when Allah says, the example of it is like that. It is as if it is like that. That means that this is not something that could be explained because you do not have concepts for it. We know that the store of our concepts in this world is limited in the sense that the store of our concepts which we use in understanding is something which is an accumulation of things that we have experienced, that we have seen, that we have heard. What if there are things that we have never seen, never heard, never experienced, and then someone wants to explain it for us? It's impossible. It's not possible to do that. How can you explain coldness for someone who never has experienced cold or heat? How can you explain color for someone who has never seen it? You just have to draw on other experiences that they have and say, it is like, for example, to a blind person, you could say, like that you see different voices, different sounds. There you have high-pitched sound, low-pitched sound, for example. Then we see things, of course, if the concept of seeing could be explained, which are different with each other. But you never can say what is red, what is blue, what is yellow. It's impossible. Because they have no experience, no concept. Now, certainly there are things in Nash'atul Akhirah of which we have no experience. فيها ما لا عين رأت وما ولا أذن سمعت. There are things there that no eyes have ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and that means there's no concept about it. So how are we going to explain it? And that's why in some places Allah says, it is as if, it is like this. I just give you one example to bring this closer to our mind. The example of the life of this world, when Allah wants to say, the example of life of this world for you to think about it is إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. The example of the life of this world. كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ. In Surah Kahf. فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحُ. The example of the life of this world is like when we send down rain and the earth grows, becomes green, everything flourishes, every plant flourishes, and then after a short while it all withers and goes dry, and then the wind comes and scatters it. Now, what does it have to do with our lives? Our life is certainly completely different from that. But Allah wants to tell us that, look how things grow and then wither. You should get this concept about your own life. Your own life is like this. You have a period of growth, flourishing, going green, and then a period of withering and drying and dying. So this is the example of this life. They are very, very, very much different from each other. But some similarity brings these close to each other. Now, listen to these examples about paradise, for example. مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ. Now, this is not description of paradise. This is just an example so that you understand. Because these are the concepts that you know. I tell you so that you just get a sense of it, but this is not what you find there. مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وُعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ تجري من تحتها الأنهار أكلها دائم وظلها. The example of it is like when someone, okay, when we eat things in this world, if they are delicious, we certainly have great pleasure. It's very enjoyable. And of course, the minutes or the hours during the day and week that we
spend eating delicious things that we like are the most enjoyable times of our lives. Now Allah says the example of paradise is just like as you continuously eat. Now of course in this world we cannot imagine continuously eating. It's torturous, isn't it? I mean, because after a short while we get satiated, we get filled up. After that, if we want to eat something which is even very delicious for us, that would be a torture for us. And of course, it could not be imaginable. But Allah says, imagine if it was possible that in this world, you continuously eat. And of course, that would not distract you from your other engagements. This is the example of paradise. مثل الجنة التي وعد المتقون تجري من تحتها الأنهار أكلها دائم وذلها. It's continuous eating, continuous shade. Now continuous eating, then when Allah says it's example, then we can of course imagine, we can let our imagination loose to say, okay, that means continuously Allah feeds us with the spiritual. Of course, again, this is a speculation. With a spiritual and with a spiritual knowledge and with his different types of manifestations, because he said it's as if you are continuously eating, so as if you are continuously getting knowledge there, as if you are continuously getting closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is very rejoicing, as eating is rejoicing in this world. Or for example, in another verse we have in Surah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وُعَدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ فِيهَا أَنْهَارٌ مِنْ مَاءٍ غَيْرَ آسِنٍ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِنْ لَبَنٍ لَمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُهُ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِنْ حَمْرٍ لَذَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِنْ عَسَلٍ مُصَفًّى وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. Now, the example of that paradise is like that there are rivers flowing in it of honey, of milk, of wine, of water. Now, we should not think that really these things are running there. Why I say we should not think really these things are running there, it's not impossible, but Allah doesn't say it happens like that. He says the example of it for you is like that. It is just something told to you to bring it close to your mind, because you know what is honey. And you can imagine, of course we haven't seen a river of honey, but we know what is honey, and we can imagine what is a river of honey. We know what is milk, and we can imagine what is a river of milk, although it's impossible to happen in this world. But Allah says, okay, you have this imagine, you have this concept, the paradise is as if there are these rivers flowing in. As you enjoy, if you see a river of honey running just beside your mansion, your house, how pleasurable would that be, and a river of wine and a river of milk? It's like that. But of course, I can't tell you how it is. I can't tell you what it is, because you don't have concepts about it. So I give you an example. The example of it is like this. Here also is concept of time. That time is not understood by us. We know that there is time in paradise, there is time in hell. And that's why we say, after a while, of course, after a very long, long while, people might be purified and come out of hell. But that time is not the time that we know. And therefore, here Allah says, the day they see it, it shall be as if they had not stayed except for an evening or a full moon. So this is the end of this surah, and inshallah we start the next surah next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa
sahbihi. The Shaykh, well, if I imagine the river of honey, then I also imagine the stickiness of it.
Yeah. So be careful, do not slip inside.
Yes. Thank you. Brothers and sisters, we would like to take up the
Yes, and here are a couple of things. One is
The Sa'ab, he talks about the Sa'ab. You know, when he talks about the day, they have sort of one time, he says the day is equivalent of 1,000 years, the equivalent of 50,000 years. The Sa'ab, there is something comparable to it as well. This is part one. Part two is the Sa'ab an actual time or is an event? Like you say, the time of the childbirth. When you start to talk about the childbirth, you think about the event itself. Although you put the hour for it, but it's an event rather than an actual hour.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a thing where the Prophet says, if one of you, which means on the day of judgment, if the Sa'ah came upon you and you had a plant in your hand, go and plant it. Which means the event, it is an event rather than it's a decision thing.
Mm-hmm.
As if it's like the period of youth out of your life.
Yeah.
Rather than an actual something happening.
Yeah, as I said, both meanings are used and are. The Sa' is interpreted in both meanings. One, the moment that event happens, and the other one is used just to refer to the day of judgment. So, a Sa' could be mentioned as the moment when that happens, that event happens, and as the actual day of judgment, as you said, for example, the Sa' for something is the happening of it, and therefore in the Quran, a Sa' is used as the day of judgment as well. So this is with regards to this, but with regards to the first question, what was the first question?
The time, is there like say 50,000 years?
As I said, the time frame is completely different. There are different expressions in the Quran. In one expression in Surah Ma'arij, we have, for example, تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ إِلَيْهِ فِي يَوْمٍ. In a day, the Malaika and Ruh would go move up to him. In a day, the span of which is 50,000 years. فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ 50,000. In one other verse in Surah Sajda, mention the verse correctly. في يوم كانت مقداره ألف سنة مما تؤدون. What's the beginning of the verse? Sorry. Yeah. يدبر الأمر من السماء إلى الأرض ثم يعرج إليه في يوم كان مقداره ألف سنة مما تؤدون. He directs the command from the heavens to the earth, then it ascends towards him in a day whose span is 1,000 years, by your counting. Now, by your counting, by your reckoning, it is 1,000 years, but by our reckoning, it might be just a moment. But these refer to different things, and that means that different things have different timings on that day. For example, Uruj of Malak and Ruh takes something that we call 50,000 years. Uruj al-Amr takes something which is 1,000 years. There might be many other things, for example. For example, counting on the Day of Judgment. It might last different times for different people. In about the Surah Nazar that we were discussing, there is a hadith from the Prophet, peace be on him, that whoever recites Surah Nazar, his counting would last just as one Salatul Wajib. Just you pray Salatul Subh, how 2 minutes, 3 minutes. So do not prolong your Salat 1 hour, because then, whatever it takes, then your counting would last that time. So there are different timings for different things. And that's why we are a bit confused when different years are. Of course, in Surah Hajj it says, "Inna yawman inda rabbik ka alf sanatin mimma ta'udun." Again, it's as if, it's like, it's not exactly the same thing. One day with your Lord is like 1,000 years in this world. Here it says, the Amr would return to him in a day, the span of which, here of course, it says, "Kana maqdaru." It's not as that. The exact timing of it is 1,000 years. Uruj al-Malaikati wal-Ruh is 50,000 years. But the whole Day of Judgment, might, we don't know how long, if we want to compare it to our standard scale of time, we really don't know. These are just references to certain instances in the Quran.
You want to answer?
Because in the first instance, both the Masal and Mansul are both from this world. We know who is a kafir, we know what's a dog, for example. Or we know those who reject the mission or the right message, and we know what's a donkey. And therefore, in these cases, both Masal and Mansul are familiar to us. In the event of the Day of Judgment, the Mansul is unknown to us. So, yeah.
I think the last question itself in these lectures. I've heard something recently, and it is a saying for Imam Ali alayhi salam or about Imam Ali alayhi salam, which says the whole Quran is compressed in Surah Al-Fatiha. And the whole Surah Al-Fatiha is compressed into Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And the whole Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim compressed to the Ba. And the whole Ba compressed to the Dot. And I am the Dot. Explain, please. I think this itself needs to say, because I remember one of the days, in the olden days, Imam Ayatollah Khomeini, he took a whole month of Ramadan just to explain Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Yeah, that's right. Well, this is, of course, one of those things, the knowledge of which is hidden from us, what Amirul Mu'mineen says. I think we should not expect to understand whatever Amirul Mu'mineen says, because of course his knowledge is beyond our grasp. Inna hadithana sa'bun mustas'ab. Our hadith is difficult, it's difficult to understand, because of course, again, they are talking about things which are out of our reach. But about this hadith, that the whole Quran is complete in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, because of course, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, they say, is very close to the Asmul Azam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say that this Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is closer to Asmul Azam than the whiteness of the eye to the pupil of the eye. It's very close to Asmul Azam, because it contains or includes all other names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, yes, it's logical to say that as the Quran starts with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the Quran is a manifestation of His Rahmah and mercy, and an explanation of His Rahmaniyah, of His bounties that He has spread in this world. And therefore, we can imagine that the whole Quran is actually an explanation, an elaboration of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And then, of course, all these comes back to the Ism of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then this Ba, which is Ba'ul Ista'ana, means we seek help from that name. And therefore, everything is compressed in that Ba'ul Ista'ana, Bismillah. But when we come to that dot and what is under the Ba, then of course we should stop there. Our knowledge just stops here. We cannot explain that everything there is compressed in the dot. That should refer to some very hidden type of knowledge. But then we can say that yes, Amirul Mu'mineen, as an Imam, as Waliullah, as someone who is a partner of the Quran, as someone who the Prophet, peace be upon him, told us that they would never part from the Quran, and we have to have them together, Ahlul Bayt and the Quran, then we can say yes, Amirul Mu'mineen, as a member of this family, as a member of this group, is very much related to that ba, because it's with their help that we can understand the Quran, we can seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's possible to explain, but this nuqta tahtul ba, we cannot say anything about it.
I was wondering, with regards to the last day, how does the advent of Imam Mahdi fit into it?
Well, Imam Mahdi comes before the last day, certainly. And we don't know how long it would go between the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam and the hour and the day of judgment. But we know that that is one of the signs that is very close, as the coming of the Prophet was one of the signs that is very close. And that event of the reappearance of Imam alayhi salam would tell us that it's still even more close. It's still more probable that it happened sooner rather than later. But again, you see, even Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam doesn't know that when that is going to set in. It's only a knowledge which is exclusive for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I just remembered one thing, Shaykh, here, that as you were discussing, you said that the whole universe is going towards the day of judgment. But when the day comes, it will not be a gradual process entering into that, but it will be a sudden. Everything will suddenly sort of form into that kind of.
That event. Means, that means it disrupts this process. In a way that we think is against this process. It stops the whole process and starts a new type of process, which is Nash'atul Akhir.
Thank you. I think that's it.
Well,
thank you very much.
Thank you very much.